for cultivating progress across the South, for working to unconditionally improve the lives of all, and for the bold underwriting of every Gravy podcast. SFA thanks our visionary Louisville, Kentucky friends, Pam and Brooke Smith.
In Tidewater, Virginia, in the southeastern part of the state that includes Norfolk, Suffolk, and Portsmouth, Yakamane, yak, or a box of yak, is the go-to dish for folks seeking a warm and filling lunch.
Broth, noodles, a choice of meat topped with raw white onion. Yak is, at its heart, a working person's meal.
And the Virginia version is probably the OG yak.
Because there are others. New Orleans, Baltimore, even Philadelphia all have some stake in the yak story. But it's likely yak arrived in the Tidewater when Chinese immigrants moved to Virginia in the early 20th century.
Some theories suggest that segregation meant Chinese immigrants could only open restaurants in African-American neighborhoods, introducing folks to yakamane, which translates to one order of noodles.
Probably African-American customers took the dish home, altered ingredients to taste, and developed their own yak traditions from the traditional Chinese dish.
Virginia yak features lo mein noodles, still made in factories in the Tidewater, versus the spaghetti noodles used in other versions of the dish.
Depending on who's making the yak, the ratio of soy sauce to ketchup varies, and the mixture of ketchup and soy sauce forms its own broth, though some prefer chicken broth. A hard-boiled egg is optional, as is a pour of vinegar. Most folks finish it off by sprinkling cayenne pepper.
In this episode, Nicole Hutchison, Tidewater born and bred, explores how box of yak moved beyond the boundaries of neighborhood, race, and culture. I'm Melissa Hall.
I'm Mary Beth Lassiter. You're listening to Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells the stories of the changing American South.
Nicole has the story.
It's a chilly Friday morning, and I'm sitting in a booth at Mama Chan's Chinese Takeout in Portsmouth, Virginia, chatting with owner Frank Duenas. Mama Chan's is an old-school Chinese takeout joint with Formica counters and an old Ms. Pac-Man arcade game in the corner. Orders are taken at an L-shaped counter, and there are large, faded, mustard-yellow menus on the wall behind it, listing popular dishes and specials. A cash-only sign in all caps is displayed prominently, and a tray of sauces that look like vinegar, extra dark soy sauce, and red pepper in a shaker sit off to the side of the counter. Mama Chan's has been open for more than 30 years, and it's still a sure bet for an affordable, quick, stick-to-the-bones, flavorful meal. On one side of the menu are the traditional Chinese takeout dishes, like fried rice, beef and broccoli, and lo mein. But there's another dimension to the menu not found at other Chinese restaurants.
Yak noodles, sausage and rice.
Yak noodles, sausage and rice. Frank Duenas, who is Filipino, explains some of the most popular dishes at his restaurant. Yak is a noodle dish with chicken, broth, soy sauce, onion, boiled egg, and ketchup. Sausage and rice features pork sausage, slow cooked in a rich, velvety brown gravy over white rice. Some locals call these dishes Chinese soul food. And as Frank explains, this food is different from traditional Chinese American cuisine because it represents a blending of cultures.
Our food is soul food. It's different from their dishes. They are real Chinese food. Our mine is like a mix to it. It's like a combination of soul food and Filipino food. So Filipino and Chinese, American and black, they combine together. Soul food, Mama Chan.
These Chinese soul food dishes originated in the Tidewater part of Virginia. Like African-American soul food, These dishes came about by the commingling of cultures. In this case, Asians and Blacks combining ingredients, flavors, cooking techniques, and a hefty dose of necessity. Located less than 2 miles from Mama Chan's is the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. It's the oldest and largest naval shipyard in the country, and it's one of the largest employers in this area. The shipyard and the military account for some of the best-paying jobs in this region. Hardworking longshoremen and merchant marines and others labor all day, need quick, satisfying meals that help them make it through the day. Places like Mama Chan's have served that purpose and still do to this day. The lunch rush is starting, and it's a family affair in the kitchen at Mama Chan's. Frank's wife and son are filling yak orders that pour in, assembly line style. They fill white Chinese takeout boxes to the brim with thick noodles. The next person tops them with a heap of boiled chicken, then adds a boiled egg, and then covers the entire thing with ketchup, soy sauce, and a sprinkling of raw onions. The origins of Tidewater, Virginia's Asian community can be traced back to the late 1800s, when Chinese immigrants arrived seeking new opportunities after their involvement in the California Gold Rush and railroad construction. Many settled in Tidewater, finding work as laundrymen or in the growing shipyard industry. Due to the segregation laws at the time, many opened restaurants in Black communities. This is where traditional Asian ingredients melded with flavors from Black Southern cuisine, resulting in what is often referred to as Chinese soul food. The cuisine artfully combines quintessential Chinese flavors, salty, spicy, sour, sweet, and bitter, with local staples such as smoked pork, white rice, gravies, and Chesapeake Bay seafood. But the star of the show is yak. There's a lot of debate about where yak came from. In New Orleans, where a similar dish called yakimain is a late night staple, locals claim it as their own. Others have pointed to Philly or even Baltimore. But if there's anything you should take from this episode, it's that yak started in Norfolk, Virginia. And there's one person who's confident she knows the origin.
Oh, my name is Jenny Wong. I'm the daughter of Park and Wong, the owner of the Norfolk Noodle Factory, the Chinese American import company that was in business for over 40 some years in Norfolk, Virginia. And my dad created the yakimain noodles.
The Norfolk Noodle Factory is the original maker of yak noodles.
The dry noodles is called yak noodles, okay? And Y-O-C-K, main means noodles. And what happened is when a order is put into the restaurant in the kitchen, it was called, I'll say it in Chinese, yikuomen. That means one order of yak, yikuomen, like one order of noodles. That's how it came about.
We're seated at the dinner table of Jenny Wong's home in Virginia Beach, just blocks from the oceanfront. On the table in front of her are enough artifacts to start a small historical exhibit devoted to Tidewater's early Asian community. Piles of sepia-toned photos, newspaper clippings, and copies of ledgers, notes, and more tell the story of her family's life in Tidewater. Jenny Wong's grandfather, Phuc Hong Wong, was among the many who left the West Coast and headed east in the late 1800s to find his fortune after the California Gold Rush. Norfolk's naval base and shipyard attracted many with the promise of steady, well-paying jobs. Once settled in Norfolk, Jenny's grandfather opened Wong Hong Laundry on Butte Street.
The reason they did laundry business or food is because they couldn't speak English. And so that was an easy job for them, was to do laundry. And I remember my father telling me that it cost 10 cents to have a shirt clean, pressed, and was wrapped in brown paper bag and a tie with a string for 10 cents.
Jenny's father, Park Wong, attended Ruffner High School in Norfolk and went on to study electrical engineering at MIT. He didn't finish, but he learned skills that would eventually help him operate the noodle factory. After college, Park moved to China and married Jenny's mom. The couple had three sons before Park returned to Norfolk, where he purchased the noodle factory in 1946. Jenny's mom and her three brothers joined him a few years later, and Jenny Wong was born in Norfolk in 1951. Learning the noodle-making business was a challenge for her father, Jenny said.
He knew nothing about noodles. It was like starting over. It's trial and error, and I mean, I'm sure they had a certain recipe to begin with. And from there, he just experiment. But for the dry noodles, were just salt, water, and flour, basically. But you didn't know how much to add. And I remember that there was a time when the customer, there were a lot of restaurants, and they said, well, it was too sticky, somehow it wasn't just right. So I know he contacted a lot of the flour company, you know, was experimenting to see how to make it just right. And I know that it took a while.
But eventually, Park Wong got the recipe right, and he began looking for ways to expand his noodle business. He experimented with his own recipes beyond the standard Chinese restaurant options. He needed a recipe that included the noodles he was making.
I'll never forget when I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, and my father said, you know, try this. So he put a little in a bowl, a little bit of those, you know, noodles, and he put a little bit of sugar in there, and a drop of or two of whiskey. and I just took one bite. I said, ooh, and that was it. And believe it or not, that is one of the first original recipe. And I have a copy of that original recipe.
Wong pulls a small slip of yellowing paper out that looks like a recipe. Yakimane, genuine Chinese dried noodles, is printed across the top. The directions say to boil the noodles for about 6 minutes and to add a spoonful of sugar, a half cup of whiskey, and serve. It reads, restaurant and tavern operators will find this a profitable and tasty dish to serve. Over the years, the recipe evolved. A later version of the yak recipe instructs that you add noodle sauce and salt or chicken base to taste, and serve with sliced roast pork, sliced egg, onion, ketchup, and melted butter as desired. In bold letters, it says, try this old-fashioned Chinese recipe. And it also includes the whiskey version that Jenny mentions from her childhood. But the truth is, yak wasn't old-fashioned or Chinese at all. What it was a tasty way to sell the noodles that Park Wong was manufacturing. The recipe took off at Chinese restaurants, especially in Black communities, where the dish could be produced quickly and for an affordable amount. It also became a hit among Black residents, who were frequent shoppers at Park's Noodle Factory.
I think it's because most of the Chinese restaurants were in the Black area, and it started from there and the word spread.
Park Wong went on to sell his yak noodles up and down the East Coast. This could explain why areas like New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Baltimore have their own renditions of the dish. The ability to customize yak is what makes it so genius.
Well, see, there is no original recipe, one recipe. I've seen people pile in, some people like onions, some people don't like onions, and some people like eggs, and it's just a matter of taste.
It's just a matter of taste.
Taste and what you want. And
it's make it your own.
Yeah, make it your own. And that's why it's so popular, because, you know, everyone's taste is different.
These days, yak has become a staple on the menu at Chinese takeout restaurants in urban neighborhoods all over Tidewater. It's also a staple in most Black family homes in the area. You'll find it served at special events like baby showers and office potlucks, and everyone's mother and grandmother have their special spin on the dish. And almost ceremonial, most families have special yak bowls they use when serving the dish. When I was growing up in Norfolk, my grandmother boiled her chicken in Lipton's dry onion soup mix, giving the chicken and broth added flavor. And we always used green onions and Texas Pete hot sauce. Her yak bowls were larger than your typical pasta bowl and had orange and green trim. Luckily, I inherited those ceramic bowls, and I serve my son yak in them to this day.
I didn't know it was going to stay as popular as it is. Once in a while, I read in the newspaper, I said, oh my gosh, you know, they talk about yak, but they don't know where the original recipe came from or the original noodle factory. So sometimes I call them up and said, hey, I want to make this story, you know, clear, you know, so.
Although those from Virginia's Tidewater region recognize Chinese soul food's significance in the history of the Southern foodways here, it often gets overlooked. Here, the culinary discussions typically focus on the area's beloved blue crab and salt ham. But yak deserves to have its story told, too.
Because in Norfolk, it's originally where the noodles came from. And sometimes I hear people said, oh, this is from New Orleans. And I said, no, you got to realize where it came from.
From broth to noodles, when we come back, we'll learn how to make Virginia yak. But first, Gravy has some big news for Dolly Parton fans. Lodge Cast Iron has launched a new collection of Dolly Parton cast iron. Inspired by the one and only Tennessee icon, each of the four cookware pieces brings a bit of Dolly flair to your favorite Southern dishes. Just like Dolly, cast iron is made in Tennessee and loved all over the world. Made with just iron and oil, the naturally seasoned cooking surface on a Lodge pan is made to last for generations, so you'll never have to change your tune. Take home the new Lodge Cast Iron Dolly Parton collection and shop cookware born to perform at LodgeCastIron.com. For Lodge's longtime support of the Southern Foodways Alliance and this podcast, we thank them.
Yak originated from over here. When people say yak, it must be made or produced in Norfolk, Virginia. We still use the original way of drying noodles. We don't use heat. So it really depends on the weather. If weather good, we can make more. If too much humidity, we stop making it because it won't dry.
That's Greg Shea. He purchased the Norfolk Noodle Factory in 2003. Now called Fiber Foods, the small, unassuming factory sits in an industrial office park near Norfolk's Ballantyne area. Shea, who worked as a banker and exporter-importer before purchasing the factory, still uses the same yak noodle recipe and drying technique engineered by Park Wong. He supplies yak noodles to local restaurants and the general public, as well as shipping it across the country and overseas. We're inside the factory where yak noodles are made. A conveyor-style noodle-making machine mixes, rolls, and cuts noodles to precision. Reams of tiny noodles are extruded from the machine and then transported to the drying room. In the dark drying room, thousands, if not millions, of tiny noodles hang on rows of racks like yarn on a spool as industrial-sized fans conduct the drying process. Once the noodles are dry, they're boxed up in Fiber Foods' signature green yak boxes and sold or shipped across the globe. Shea produces about 1,500 to 3,000 pounds of yak noodles per week.
People from Norfolk and spread all over the nation, and what they bring with them is the yak. They have yak fest, they make yak to treat friends, they make yak to get family reunion, and they have yak party.
But those traditions face an uncertain future. Greg Shea, who is 64, will quickly tell you, if you see his car out back, he's inside working. It just so happens his car is out back 7 days a week. He wears slacks to work daily so he can split time between the storefront portion of the factory and in the back making noodles. He has hopes of retiring soon, he explained, and that's why he recently placed the factory up for sale. But with that potential sale, the future of Chinese soul food in Tidewater becomes uncertain. Over the past decade, Chinese restaurants serving up yak and other Chinese soul food dishes have closed rapidly. Restaurants like Far East, Sun Hua, and Toy Sun are all gone. With increased rent and prices on ingredients, coupled with a new generation that puts a premium on work-life balance, there's no one to take over these family businesses. Only a few old-school Chinese soul food restaurants like Mama Chan's remain open. It's Yak Day at Andrika Gibson's apartment in Norfolk, and the energy is high. We're in the kitchen, where a large stock pot sits on the stove, bubbling with herbs, filling the room with comforting and savory aroma. Large clear bowls of steaming yak noodles, fresh chopped onion, and boiled egg are lined up along the counter. And an army of sauces, soy sauce, hot sauce, and ketchup, are in large squeeze bottles ready for duty. Gibson, her daughter, and niece work in an assembly line fashion to fill orders.
Hey, Teresa, how you been?
Crowned Norfolk's yacht queen, Gibson chats it up with customers on Facebook Live, cracking jokes and warmly greeting her regular customers and alerting everyone that they can start picking up orders soon. For the last 10 years, Gibson has been serving up yak this way. Simple, hand-to-hand service, mostly out of her home. It started as a way to earn some extra money after she was laid off from work, and it soon became a full-fledged business.
I needed some money, so I always sold stuff. Jewelry, clothes, shapewear, you know, all kinds of stuff. So that same mirror right there. I looked in it and I was like, Lord, what can I do that I know how to do, that I got everything that I can do it with, and I don't have to worry about no money no more. It was like, cook.
Andrika, who attended school for culinary arts, had always been the cook of the neighborhood. She often cooked and gave away food for fun and if someone was in need. Seeing people enjoy her food always made her happy.
So when I sat down, I'm like, he was like, cook y'all. This guy else, I'm like, cook y'all.
Andrika was hesitant. At that time, yak remained a thing you went to your grandma's house to get. Or you might stumble upon it if someone was selling it to raise bail or to pay for a funeral. Not many young people cooked it, that's for sure. And as for the yak sold in restaurants, Andrika felt she could improve on the recipe. So an idea was born.
So I walked outside and talked to one of my neighbors and I was like, I think I'ma have a yacht party. I'ma cook yacht, charge people $10. I'ma have little drinks, all you can eat.
Andrika made about $500 at that first yacht party a decade ago. The job that had laid her off eventually called and asked her to return. But she placed her bets on growing her yacht business and started cooking and selling yacht out of her apartment on the weekends. The demand grew so much that her landlord told her she needed to find a new place. She did a stint at a commercial kitchen in Chesapeake while looking for a new home, and the crowd followed. Now, in a more stable home, her business has continued to flourish. And so has her brand as Norfolk's Yacht Queen. She sells Virginia is for Yacht t-shirts, fashioned after the iconic Virginia is for Lovers slogan.
We getting it together now, baby. Pull up and come put your order in.
It's just past 11 at Andrika's house, and the calls are steadily coming in. Andrika attributes her success to taking the traditional yak recipe and adding her own flavor and style to it.
So with mass is the juice.
The juice is the broth that Andrika uses to add a big punch of flavor to her yak. Also, she uses chicken legs in place of the traditional wing. That way you get more meat. Another twist is her use of 32-ounce clear PVC cups to hold the yak. The packaging reveals a vibrantly colored, deconstructed version of the old-school dish. Noodles, broth with chicken, sauce, ketchup, and more juice result in an Instagram-worthy presentation.
the presentation went viral more than anything. So you can see the onions floating. You can see the celery. You can see rosemary. Different. A lot of these seasonings I didn't know nothing about. I put about, it was 17. It was 17 dry ingredients and about 6 liquid ingredients.
When asked just what those ingredients are, Andrika isn't as forthcoming.
It's an ancient secret recipe. So the sauce is basically the juice. Did I show you the juice?
Mm-mm.
That's what I need to show y'all.
Andrika leads me back to the kitchen and removes the top from the large stock pot on the stove to reveal a luxurious, rich broth of chicken, dry, and fresh herbs all simmering together.
That's the juice, with the au jus, that's what they say, that you can pour on the top. That's what got all the love and all of that in it.
With the future of Tidewater's Chinese soul food and Yak Noodle Factory hanging in the balance, people like Andrika represent both the past and the future of the cuisine. The ingredients and presentation may have changed, but the spirit of what this dish has represented to the community remains the same. Using what you have, doing what you know, and making it your own.
Nicole Hutchison produced and reported this episode. Nicole is the co-host of You're Not Wrong, a podcast found on Apple and Spotify. A freelance writer who lives in Florida, Nicole enjoys writing about culture, business, and lifestyle topics.
We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music. We also a huge thank you to Clay Jones and Broadcast Studio for recording and mixing Gravy.
Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Camp Milam. Olivia Terenzio is our podcast editor. Fact-checking comes courtesy of Heather Cole. My co-host, Mary Beth Lassiter, is our publisher.
Want to learn more about the changing American South or about Virginia and New Orleans yak? Visit us at southernfoodways.org. Read oral histories, watch films, or listen to this podcast. While you're there, become a member or make a donation. Your dollars fund our work and help us make more gravy.
I'm Melissa Hall.
I'm Mary Beth Lassiter.
Excited to lap up another episode of Gravy? Tell a friend.
Pass the gravy boat. There is plenty to go around.
Gravy is proud to be a part of APT Podcast Studios.